Our vision for the future, depending on what's happened in the past, can blind us so that we cannot see better days ahead. Gideon was not a man of strong faith. Gideon was not a man of amazing amounts of courage. And so when God called him, even though he addressed him as a mighty hero, I think that his response was, Gideon, or God doesn't have any idea what in the world he's doing. You know, God, if you're a little smarter, you'd pick somebody else. You wouldn't call me, because there are lots of people who can do this better. I'm sure he asked, why should he get the call to serve? And when you consider all the shortcomings, you know, we might even ask that same question. Why in the world did God call Gideon? There must have been people who on the outside looked more qualified than him. Well, when you ask yourself that question, just remember, God often chooses the weak things of the world to accomplish great things for his glory. God knew the potential that he had wired into Gideon when he was created, and God chose to patiently work with Gideon to get him ready for the task to which God was calling him. Again, I love the angel's salutation. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. God knew that there was a hero inside of Gideon. Gideon couldn't see it. He thought of himself as a zero much more than he did a hero. Instead of feeling encouraged and empowered by the angel's greeting, I'm convinced that he was intimidated and felt rather anxious over all these things that were being said to him. He was, in his own mind, no hero. So instead of saying, well, thank you, God, I'm ready to go, he just started to tell God why he considered himself to be the wrong guy to call and ask to do such a thing. Listen to what Gideon said in response to the angel. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. All that Gideon was feeling at that moment in time was the pain of the oppression that they'd been experiencing for 7 years under the Midianites. He asked the same question that I hear a lot of people ask today when they're facing adversity and hardship. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Lord, what did I do to deserve all of this hardship and all this that is going wrong in my life? Daily life for Gideon and all the people around him was an ongoing battle. And he struggled, literally struggled, with the darkness of unbelief on a day-to-day basis. He was convinced that God had deserted his people, and that because God had deserted his people, that nothing was going to get better. The future was bleak and hopeless. So as such, Gideon couldn't dream a dream of a better future. He couldn't see God's vision of improvement in the land of Israel. So you know what God did? God just said, get up and get going. In Judges chapter 6, verse 14, we continue. It says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you and no one else. God was not interested in Gideon's excuses. He just gave him a direct command. Get up and get going. You know, the hardest thing to do when you're considering a new venture, no matter what it is, how little it is or how big it is, the hardest thing is just taking the first step and getting started. How many times have we overanalyzed a situation and we stay paralyzed because we can't make up our minds what to do? I have to tell you, it's in my personality profile that if I'm going to make a major decision, I have to think it through. I have to look at every aspect, every option, and every possible outcome of what can come. I did that all through my ministry because I always wanted to make good decisions. But I can tell you the danger of that. You can get paralyzed and end up not making a decision. And you just talk and talk and talk, and you never get started on the walk. So there becomes no follow through. When God speaks, we need to trust his wisdom. We need to believe by faith that God knows something that we don't know. And maybe he knows something about us that we don't know. And Gideon knew, I believe, that he needed to obey when God spoke. And I have a feeling that when God said, get up and get going, it rattled his cage a little bit. Must have shaken him up. Well, Gideon was still convinced that he was incapable of doing anything that might make a significant difference. And in verse 15, we read this also that Gideon said. He said, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. As I read that, I read it as Gideon having a poor sense of self-esteem. He had a poor sense of self-worth because his family wasn't very important, considered rather insignificant, and he was the least significant of anybody in his own family, so it kind of made him, in his mind, a nobody. And every time I read that verse, I wonder if he developed those attitudes about himself while he was growing up. I know the stories of too many people that as they were growing up, were told they were stupid, they were ugly, they'd never amount to anything. I can name them. Too many. I know others who were bullied. They were ridiculed by their peers, and in some cases, they were ridiculed by teachers in the public school system. They grew up feeling humiliated, and they felt very insignificant. They believed, eventually, the things that they were told about them, and then that's how they began to see themselves as they journeyed into adulthood. I think many of us have a painful past, or things that happened in our past that haunt us, and really have an impact on us even as we continue to live in the present. Maybe someone in here is one of those who had one of those rough childhoods. Or maybe you experienced a painful failure in your marriage. Maybe your career fell apart. Maybe you lost a lot of money. Maybe something in your past happened to you that was incredibly devastating. You know what many of us do when something bad happens to us? We just simply deny it. We try to put it out of our mind, and we just move on. And we never, ever deal with it. But I can tell you that anyone who carries pain from the past, things that hurt them, things that wounded them deeply that they never took the time to heal from, it'll have a devastating effect on them because it'll eventually wear them out emotionally. You can only hide it, pretend so long, and eventually it just wears you out and you get tired of trying to hide it and bury it. It takes a lot of emotional energy to be dishonest about how you feel. And let's face it, we're not always honest. How do you feel? How are you doing today? I'm great. And inside you're dying, right? Come on, we do it in normal day-to-day affairs, and we do it a lot with bad things from our past. And if there are things you haven't dealt with, then there will always be topics that your family can't discuss. There will always be things in your personality that your friends know, but which can never be faced. There will always be issues that aren't allowed to be examined. But you know, if you're honest with God, your life can change. And God can free you from fears and failures that hold you back from dreaming about a better future. Especially a better future that God has been dreaming for you. We can overcome painful experiences in our past, the same kind that Gideon was dealing with. You just need to see yourself the way God sees you. And the first words to Gideon spoken were this, mighty hero. Again, I love that salutation. Mighty hero. Greg Eby described the significance of that greeting this way. It was as though God saw Superman while Gideon saw only Clark Kent. It was as though God saw Peter. It was as though God saw Spider-Man while Gideon. Oh, golly, I can't talk, Lord. It was as though God saw Spider-Man while Gideon saw only Peter Parker. Thank you, Jesus. Get my tongue untied here. God saw what Gideon could not see about himself. God saw what Gideon could be, what he could become. And I believe that day the angel's message struck a responsive chord in Gideon's heart. Though he was probably struggling to process it all, I'm convinced that inside, as God was working in him through the work of the Holy Spirit, that he began to consider the possibility of what maybe he could do with God beside him. So as the Holy Spirit did his work, Gideon began to see himself as something perhaps more than a zero, perhaps even some kind of hero, not sure exactly what that means, but something that he could do like God had just said. So God told Gideon to do more than just sit around and think. It was time for action. So God told him to get up and get moving. And again, in verse 14, God said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." It's interesting, you can read it this way. I am sending you, or you can read it as I am sending you. Either way, same effect. It is God doing the sending of the person who wasn't ready to be called. Gideon didn't have it all together. But moving forward with God, Gideon had it all. He had everything he needed. And so with God by his side, Gideon took the first step toward becoming the leader that God had planned for him to be, so that he could lead the people to overcome their enemy, the Midianites. God calls each and every one of you his sons and daughters. You are special to him. You are loved by him with an unimaginable amount of love. He sees the kind of mighty hero in you that you can be in your particular world. Your first reaction to God wanting you to do more than what you're doing today may be fear, and may be the feeling that you are totally inadequate to do what God may be asking you to do. And so when he calls, you end up paralyzed with fear, and you choose to do nothing because you just can't see that you can get it done. The Bible makes it very clear that as a child of God, you have access to every spiritual resource that you need to enable you to do the very things that God may be asking you to do. But I can also tell you this from personal experience, and it's what the Bible teaches. It is that as you will not experience those resources, you will not experience the power that God wants to unleash inside of you until you move forward by faith and begin to do the things that God wants you to do. When you act by faith, God then begins to pour out his enabling upon you so that you can supernaturally get done what God wants you to do. He gives you what you need. Remember when speaking to the Apostle Paul, God said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." And Paul's reaction to that statement was one of humility. He simply said, "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me." I want to make this a little more personal. After I graduated from high school, I enrolled at Penn State University with a plan to make a career of engineering. I love science, still love science, still like to be involved in some way in science. I graduated 4 years later with the degree that I wanted to have. But while I was at Penn State, an unexpected thing happened. I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and during my senior year at the university, God began to unmistakably call me to ministry. I won't go into the details of how that happened, but it became so clear, I didn't know how to deny it. And yet, while I was being called, I have to tell you, I couldn't see myself serving as a pastor. I didn't see myself having the right equipment, the right giftings, the right tools. I felt a little bit like Gideon. God, I think you're calling the wrong person. And I've said that all the years of my ministry. If I were picking pastors, I would have never picked me. And yet, the calling was there, and it seemed so clear at the time, but I had my own struggles. So I thought initially that God was making a big mistake, and I told God why I couldn't be a pastor. But I have to tell you, as I look back, I can tell that God saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And even though I objected in the beginning, God slowly, one by one, took away every objection to entering the ministry that I had. And so after I graduated from college, I took a little time off to start paying off my college debt, and then a year later, I entered seminary. When I entered seminary, my initial goal was not to go into pastoral ministry, it was to go into the Christian education field. I love teaching, and so I talked with the Lord and said, I'll tell you what, I'll go into this ministry of teaching. I love to teach. And Lord, I think the greatest thing would be if I could possibly go teach or lead education somewhere in some kind of schooling program. And I used to dream of going to a church with 1,000 people in a Sunday school. And I was going to help lead a Sunday school with 1,000 people and work with kids and teens and adults and help them to learn about Jesus. But God continued to steer me into pastoral ministry. Now, you need to know a little something else which may help to clarify this whole hesitance to go into pastoral ministry. You see, when I went to Penn State, we were all required to take an interest survey. I still have that interest survey in my files in my office. And there was this long list of career options that were available to all of us. I scored high in engineering, science, math. Believe it or not, I scored high in the possibility of becoming a doctor. Not something I was interested in, but a lot of things I scored high in. Clergy was also listed on there. Clergy was way, way, way down there on my interest survey. It was in the category that said zero interest at all. Again, not where I felt wired. And I was a Christian at that point, but I had no desire to do pastoral ministry. But God continued to steer me into pastoral ministry, and I ended up becoming a pastor and did so for a long time. And then it happened again. In 1981, I was asked to go to Red Lion as a church planter. My initial reaction was just like being a pastor. Oh, no, Lord, that's not me. No, 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 no. God, there's other people who could do a much better job. Thank you, but I don't think so. God, I'm not sure you know what you're doing. But I'd learned to always keep the door open, at least a crack. I didn't know what to do. And interestingly, when I got the call, I got a call on a Friday afternoon asking if I'd be willing to go to Red Lion. And I asked, how soon must you know? By Monday? Really? Yes. You have 3 days to make a decision. My wife and I drove down, looked through the area we were being asked to go serve. We talked, we prayed. Come Monday morning, I had no answer. I still had my questions, my struggles. So I called back, said, I really don't know. What do you say? Well, we really believe that you're the man that God wants to go there. Okay. And that was how I responded. All right, send me. I'll go. I'm going to trust that you have heard from the Lord, even though I'm struggling to get an answer. And we went. And because of that, I was part of planting a church in Red Lion. And 7 years later, we had an average attendance of 50 people. We had purchased 3.5 acres of property, and we were in the beginning of a building program and a church that continued to grow for some time. This engineer wannabe served as a pastor and then as a church planter, which I think is a little bit different, despite all of my initial negative thoughts and reactions. Because you see, I allow God's dreams for me to become my dreams for me as well. God sent me, told me to stop thinking about it and just get up and get going and go do it. And then he graciously gave me the needed grace to do what God had asked me to do. He provided all the resources. I just had to make myself available to him. We need to allow our dreams and our goals for our future to be shaped by what God tells us is true about ourselves. None of us as believers are trapped in a future that is controlled by our past or by our perceived shortcomings. Our God is a God of the impossible. And I'm going to tell you, quite frankly, if God can use me, then he can use you. And I'll say that without hesitation. If he can use me, he can use you. And so I want to ask again the questions that I asked at the beginning of this message. Have you ever imagined what God wants for you to do in your life? Or have you ever dreamed God's dream for your church? If you have, whatever that dream is, if it's God's dream, God can and will make it happen. He calls us to obey, even when we feel too weak or we feel too inadequate to do what he's asking. He wants us to stop making excuses. He wants us to stop looking at the future through the lens of the past. He wants us to act on his call for our lives and then to trust him for the outcomes. Because it's not all about us, it's all about him and him working through us. The songwriter said, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." Gideon, for all his doubts and all his shortcomings and all of his fears, successfully delivered Israel from the Midianites. But it never would have happened if he hadn't gotten up and started going. Gideon obeyed, and he enjoyed the power of God's presence at work in his life. Judges 6, verse 16 says this, "The Lord said to him, 'I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.'" Yes, Gideon did still have some residual doubts after those words, and so he did ask God for a sign, something I'll admit I've done a few times over my years, not often, but once in a while. I've decided the Old Testament saints could get away with it. Once in a while, I could too. And God graciously answered Gideon's prayer and said, "Yes, I will be with you." And he made it unmistakably clear to Gideon that he was to get going. So at that point, Gideon was ready to act. He moved out by faith. You see, Gideon dared to dream the dream that God gave him because he believed that with God, all things are possible. So I ask you this morning, do you believe that with God, all things are possible? Do you believe that with God, all the things God wants to do with you are possible? Do you believe that all the things God wants to do inside of you are possible? I challenge you to start dreaming again. Consider the possibilities of where God may want to take you or to take your church. Remember, there is a God-empowered hero inside of every one of you. I'm almost tempted to start playing a Mariah Carey song in the background, but the words don't quite work out. But there is a God-created hero inside of each and every one of you. And God wants us to do far more than many of us have ever thought about or imagined. God wants you to get moving. He's not interested in your excuses. Take the first step. And then watch what God will do. And as you do, rely on God and God alone. Remember that as with Gideon, God will be with you. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Some of us have stopped dreaming about what could be. We think the best is behind us. And that's not true. The best is yet to be. I want to challenge you to dare to dream again. The Christian life is not about what we can do on our own. It's about the miraculous things that God can and will do when we move out in obedience and trust him with the outcomes. Let me pray. Father, it is really scary when you ask us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. We all have opinions and thoughts about our talents and abilities and our strengths and our shortcomings. And sometimes, Lord, we just can't see what you want to do with us. And yet you took a farmer, no real training, least in his family. You know, he didn't seem to fit the bill, and yet you had a hero inside of him just waiting to come out. And I pray, Lord, help us to see ourselves not through the lens of what's happened in our past, not to see ourselves through the lens of shortcomings that we may think that we have, but to see ourselves through the lens of Scripture, to see ourselves as you see us. And Lord, that as we read the Scriptures, we may hear what you have to say about who we are in Jesus Christ as your sons and daughters. And I pray, Father, for those who have stopped dreaming, maybe because of age or maybe because of other things that's happened, I pray, help us to dream again. There really is no retirement in the Christian life. We can retire from a 9-to-5 job, but our service to you never comes to an end. And I believe, Lord, that there are things you want to do with all of us until the day you call us home to heaven. So speak to us, Lord, whether it be through an angel, whether it be through a pastor, whether it be through a family member or some Christian friend, speak to us. Make it clear for us what your dream is for us as we continue to move into the future, and give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to respond in a positive way and move out so that we may accomplish more for the work of your kingdom. Time is growing short, Lord, and there's a lot that needs to get done. Thank you for your divine enabling and for your grace today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.